In Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, the wise men asked King Herod, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." This morning I want to talk to you about that star. It's a star. The Bible doesn't tell us much. Everything we read about it is in just a couple verses in Matthew chapter 2. But it was a star that was different from every other star. It appeared for only a short time. At an appointed time. We talked about it last week that God had told hundreds of years before when the Messiah was going to come, had told the number of years that was going to transpire between the command to rebuild the temple and then the Messiah coming. And that star appeared right at the exact moment that God had predicted. So it appeared at its appointed time. The Bible says it was his star. It belonged to Jesus Christ. It was the sign that God sent so the wise men would know when to make the journey to find the Christ child. So it belonged to him. And then down in verse 9 there, it says, "When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was." This was a star that moved. Some people have likened it to the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud that we read about in the book of Exodus that directed and led the people of Israel through the wilderness. You remember that story that when the pillar of fire moved at night or the pillar of cloud moved at day, then the Israelites moved. When it stood still, they stood still and didn't travel. And so this star was the same way. When the wise men stopped at Herod's thinking that the king of Israel could tell them where the one that had been born king of Israel was, the star stopped. And then when they came out and headed toward Bethlehem, because the prophets and the advisors to the king had said, the Bible says in the book of Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem, and the wise men started toward Bethlehem, the star started up again and led them as it did from their homes. And when it came to that place where the Christ child was, it stopped. And again, other than those three things, we don't know a lot about the star. But we do know this. And this is the important thing that I want to point out to you this morning. That star that appeared led the wise men to Jesus. That Christmas star, if you'll let me call it that, that Christmas star's purpose was to lead this group of men to find the Christ child. To find the Savior. And this morning, I want to remind you, as we were reminded in our Sunday school lesson, at least in the adults, that all of us have that same responsibility. We have that same mission given to us by God, that we are to lead men and women and boys and girls to Jesus. We are indeed to be like that Christmas star and point them to the Savior. In the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 3, where I'll be preaching from tonight, the Bible says this, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." And tonight, as I mentioned, we'll be talking about that verse, and I'll be preaching on the subject, how to shine. In Matthew chapter 5, the Bible says this, "Ye are the light of the world." This was in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was preaching. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Then Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Here's the question of the morning. Here's what I want you to consider this morning. Are you shining? Is your light bright? Can people get to the Savior because of your testimony, because of the way you live your life? This morning, as I mentioned, I want to speak on the subject, how to be a Christmas star. How to point men and women and boys and girls to Jesus. And there's three things that I find in those two verses, verse number 2 and verse number 9 in Matthew chapter 2, that this star the characteristics of this star, the same characteristics that we need to have in our life if we're going to be Christmas stars, if we're going to point people to Jesus. The first one is found in verse 2. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star. If we're going to be a Christmas star, we must be his. If we're going to point men and women and boys and girls to Jesus, to the Savior, we must belong to him. Now, there's a two-part process for belonging to Jesus. Number one, he has to choose us. And number two, we have to choose him. And the good news is, this morning is, he's already done the first part. Jesus has already chose every single one of us. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That means every single person in this room this morning, every single person in every church where the gospel is being preached, every single person that you interact with in your daily life, the people that you work with, the people that you go to school with, the people that you live next door to, the person that cuts your hair, the person that delivers your newspaper, the list goes on and on and on. Every single person you interact with, that you come in contact with, that you have in your sphere of influence, God has chosen. Huh? He's chosen. There's not one person in your life, not one person in your family, not one person in your neighborhood that God hasn't chosen. You might say, "Well, you don't know all my neighbors. There's a real corker that lives down the street." Brother Leonard reminded me last week, something I never thought about before. You know, we don't have to like the people that God chose. We may have corkers that live down the street from us that we may not like them very well as neighbors. You may have people that you work with that you may not like them very well as fellow workers. But I want to tell you something and remind you of a truth. God has chosen every single one of them. It doesn't matter if we think they're a corker. It doesn't matter if we might not think that we might not like to work them. It doesn't matter that we don't like them. God has chosen them. And he doesn't want that person to go to hell. He's chosen them to go to heaven. So God has done his part. He's chosen every single one of us. Now he leaves it up to us and says, "Hey, if you choose me, you can be mine. If you choose me, I've chosen you. Now all you have to do is choose me, and if you choose me, you'll be mine." And the Bible tells us how to choose him. In Romans chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So here's how I choose God. Here's how I choose Jesus. First of all, I believe some things. I believe, number one, that I'm a sinner. Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. I believe that I am a sinner. I believe that there's a penalty for that sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's what I've earned. That's what I deserve as a sinner. The wages of sin is death. But God loved me, and God loved you, and God loves every single sinner. I mean, every single one. There's no sinner that God doesn't love. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "But he commendeth," or proved, "his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Aren't you glad that you didn't have to get better before God sent Jesus to die for you? I am. I'm glad when I was I won't tell you, I don't have time to confess all my sins this morning, but I'm glad when I was a sinner. I'm glad when I was in my sin. I'm glad when I was paying no attention to God and turned away from the gospel that Jesus still loved me enough to die for me. So I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe there's a penalty for that sin. I believe that God sent Jesus to die for my sin. I believe that sufficient. There's nothing else that needs to be done. It's not get saved and join a church. It's not get saved and be baptized. It's not get saved and take communion. All those things are good, and we do them, and we ought to do them. But none of those things are necessary for salvation. Only one thing, Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. So I believe those things. He's chosen me. I believe those things, and then I confess. You say, what does that mean? Do I have to confess all my sins? No, I couldn't do it, and neither could you. What it means is I take them with my mouth. I say, Jesus, I take you to be my Savior. I ask you to be my Savior. You say, is there a certain thing you have to say? No. No. I bet if we went around the room, there were probably as many prayers that were prayed for people to be saved as there are people in the room. There's no magic little prayer that you have to say, but you got to ask Jesus to be your Savior. You got to receive him. In John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you're here this morning and you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can sing that little chorus that says, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Eternity. Are you his this morning? He's chosen you. Chosen every single one. Don't you believe this lie that comes from hell that God predestined some to be lost and come some to be saved. Not my God. Not my Jesus. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Have you chosen him? You need to this morning if you haven't. I don't care how many times you've heard it. I don't care how many times you've been in this place. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I can't think of a better time to do it than right now. Right now. You need to be his. And if you're going to point people to him, you need to be his. Number two, something else this star did. Going down to verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, and it was moving. It went before them. I don't know what direction it was going. I don't know if it was going west, north, south. I assume it wasn't going east, since that's the way they came from. And I don't know what direction the star was going from a compass standpoint, from a geographic standpoint, but I know which direction the star was going when it comes to Jesus. It was getting closer to him. Huh? It was getting closer to him. And if we're going to be a Christmas star, we have to be moving in that same direction in our Christian lives. We have to be getting closer to him. We have to say like Paul did in Philippians chapter 3, but what things were gained to me, those things that were important to me before, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If we're going to point men and women and boys and girls to Jesus, if we're going to be a Christmas star, we have to be moving in his direction. We have to be moving toward him. Hey, Brother Leonard, stand up just for a minute. I'm a Christian. I represent all of you. Brother Leonard's going to represent Jesus. In my Christian life, I ought to be moving in that direction. I ought to be moving closer to him. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and we were just talking about some things of the Lord, and the point came up. When God saves us, he doesn't change us altogether. I mean, all things are new, but there's some things in our life that he has to pick away at to get out of our life, things that he knows shouldn't be there. And as he picks those things out of our life, and as we move further in this direction, closer to Jesus, the more we get to know him. I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be a hard thing for a Christian that's headed in this direction and getting further and further away from Jesus. It's going to be hard for you to point men and women and boys and girls to Jesus. Can't do it. Hard. I mean, really hard. Maybe you could do it, but it's going to be really hard. If we're going to do what God called us to do, like we talked about in our Sunday school lesson this morning, we've got to be moving closer to him. We've got to be moving in that direction. We got to have that same desire that Paul had that says, I want to know him more. I want to know more about him. I want to be more like him. And that's the desire that God has for every single one of us in Christ, is for you to be more like him. For you to have his mind and think the way that he thought. For you to have the same priorities that he had in his life. For you to have the same love for others that Jesus had in his life. And I just want to ask you this morning, which direction are you moving in? If you're his, if you're a Christian, if you're saved, if you're on your way to heaven, make sure you got your face toward him and that you're headed in his direction. Because if you're not headed in that direction, you're backsliding. And you're getting further and further away from the place that God wants us to be. Fanny Crosby wrote a song, and we have the song in our hymn book. It goes like this: I am thine, O Lord, I belong to you. I've heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of love and be closer drawn to thee. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. You see, you can only do that if you're moving in the same direction toward him. Toward him. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. If we're going to be a Christmas star, we've got to move in the same direction that this star did. We've got to be moving closer to Jesus. And then number three, if we're going to be a Christmas star, I go again to verse 9, where the Bible says, when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came, and it stood over the young child, where the young child was. If we're going to be a Christmas star, not only do we have to be moving closer to Jesus, but we got to get to the point in our life where we stand as a Christian. Not where the old nature wins out one day and the new nature wins out the next day, but where the new nature wins out every day. Not where we have a foot in the world and a foot in Christ, but where we have both feet firmly planted on the rock of our salvation. The biggest thing that I run into when I talk to people about Jesus, the biggest excuse, the most often quoted excuse that I hear when I talk to people about Jesus is this: why should I be a Christian? The Christians I know do the same thing that I do. They go to the same places, they talk the same way, they do the same things. Why should I be one of them? They got nothing on me. Of course, I try to tell them, it's not what we do that makes the difference, what's been done for us. But we as Christians need to stand. You see, the world has all that they want in the world. When they look at us, they want something different. They want to see that our life reflect what we testify that we have inside. They want to see that our conduct matches what we talk about when we talk about Jesus. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And I want to tell you, one of the things that Satan enjoys doing is to us is what he did to Job. He'll wait till we mess up as a Christian, and then he'll point his finger at us before God and say, "Hey, there's one of your kids. See what he's doing?" And worse than that, he'll point his finger to a person that needs to receive Christ and say, "Look at that Christian. You're better than they are. You don't need what they've got." That's why we as Christians need to stand. We need to say, "I belong to Christ. I'm His. He chose me. I chose Him. I may not be everything I'm supposed to be, but I'm getting closer. I'm moving. I may still have a long way to go, but I'm taking a few, moving a few inches every day, getting closer to Him. And what are the progress I've made? I'm not going backwards. If nothing else, I'm going to stand. Hey, if you can't move forward, just stand where you are. Don't let Satan pull you back. Don't let Satan get you to turn around. Don't let Satan get you moving backwards. Just stand. Just dig in and stand until you can move forward again." Jesus wants us to be Christmas stars. That's why he said in the book of Matthew chapter 28, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." That's why he said in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's why he said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, I think, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." You see, I think there's people that are in our lives that are asking us the same question that the wise men asked King Herod. "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star." Not a star in the heavens, but a star down here on earth. "Hey, I've seen Brother Wendell. Where's his Jesus? I've seen Shirley. Where's her Jesus? I've seen Helen shine. Where's her Jesus?" I mean, I go around the room. I could mention everybody's name here that's a Christian. There are people that have seen your life and are asking the question, "Where's Jesus? I want him just like you've got him." I'm not a poet like some of you are, but I thought about that little nursery rhyme or poem that children say or their parents tell them when they see a star. And I just changed a few of the words to go along with my message this morning. "Twinkle, twinkle, Christmas star, sharing Jesus where you are, showing men both far and wide how he lived and why he died. Twinkle, twinkle, Christmas star, sharing Jesus where you are." And that's what we need to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Christmas story. Thank you for telling us about the wise men and the star. Thank you for the lessons that we can learn from that star. And I pray this morning, I think, Father, for those that were in Sunday school, you gave us a double dose this morning. You reminded us in Sunday school how we have a mission to share the gospel. You reminded us again in this service about that same mission, that we need to share Jesus with men and women and boys and girls that we can shine before. And so I pray, Father, that as we examine our lives this morning, those of us that belong to you, that Jesus has saved, as we examine our lives, that anything that keeps us from letting our light shine, that we get out of our lives. We wouldn't try to hide a candlestick under a bushel, but we'd be like that city that's on top of a hill that cannot be hid. And as people see our good works, they would be drawn to the Father. I pray for all of us here that name the name of Christ. I pray that you'd make us more of what we ought to be. And then, Father, I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know Christ as their Savior. I pray this morning that they'll see their sin. They'll see the penalty for that sin. They'll see the price that was paid for that sin. And this morning they'll come and receive Jesus as their Savior. Bless the invitation. Holy Spirit, speak to us and do in our lives what only you can do. And we'll give Jesus all the glory this morning. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.